I can't be stressed. Say, I will not.
I will not.
I will not.
Be stressed.
Ever. Because
greater
is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Amen. See, you know, with every day that passes, there should be an ever-increasing gratefulness that God has provided for us a place of refuge. We say this every Sunday when we say Psalm 91. Well, we had better make sure that we are in it 24/7. You understand me? Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. Now, I didn't know whether I wanted to do it from the way we do it or the way the New King James. And I think I'm just going to do it the way we do it. See, it says, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. See, because here in the other one it says, He who dwells. Well, no, we're saying that because we don't say, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my refuge and He's my fortress. He's my God, and in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Those are the traps of the enemy. And he lays traps every day. That's why we must be in the Word every day. And from the perilous pestilence. You know what pestilence is? It's diseases. It is diseases. He shall deliver me from those diseases that try to come upon me. Realize you're covered in the blood. Comes to vaccinations, you are fully vaccinated in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you decide to get a vaccination of any kind, I just tell you, pray before you get it. That's all I ask you to do. I'm not telling you not to get it, but I'm also reinforcing to let you know the blood covers you.
Hallelujah.
It's the blood that covers you. Verse 4 says, He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. As believers, God has provided protection for us in the times that we are in. He offers us refuge from the dangers of the world. Now, if we take Him up on this offer, we can be just like this man here, as we claim to be in Psalm 91, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. See, there's the key to it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And what do we say every Sunday? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Go ahead and say that.
I dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen. See, man, we can say with confidence this. Say this with me. The Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. A refuge is a wonderful place. It provides a place of safety even in the midst of the most terrible destruction. Have you ever seen photos from World War II? And the underground bomb shelters they had. And in fact, I even got some of the original signs that were made up from when I was in the mill that we used to hang different places. The shelters, where to run to. Yeah, they still, and I got them, brand new. What nice signs. When we shut down, they were casting all the stuff out. That's a collector's item. No, well, for me it is. I know. Okay, but I've seen those photos, and I don't know you, but if you ever seen, that to me is the greatest illustration of a refuge, okay? See, it can protect us and literally save our lives when evil and violence are exploding all around us. See, that's why when you think of a refuge, that's how I was thinking about it. See, even when the devil launches a bunker buster bomb at our refuge, the Most High has provided it will not be able to penetrate. What he has provided in his refuge, he's going to send that bomb. You know, they came up with them. We heard about the bunker bombs, the buster bunkers bombs, and how they could go in. And how do you think they won the war over there in Iraq? They went underground. They had a bomb that could go right in them little holes. Well, we're in a refuge that they can't penetrate. The enemy can't penetrate them with his bombs. Because he sends them. He launches every day. See, in times of trouble, even a natural refuge, though, it can be a great blessing. But a supernatural refuge, the kind that God provides us, is even a greater blessing. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Unlike a natural shelter, there is no crowding, and there's always plenty of room in the secret place of the Most High. God will never turn you away and tell you there is no vacancy. He'll never say, my shelter is full. See, he is a big, big God. Yeah. Quit looking him at he's some small guy. He's not. He is big. Yeah. And he's big enough to cover everyone who comes to him. Can you imagine that? And under his wings, he's big enough to cover everybody. When you can you just imagine that? There's the world. God created everything. He goes, he can cover the world. Yeah. Yeah, he can. He's a big God. We may not be as big as him, but we're created in his image. We're able to do what he does. He is so big, he can keep us surrounded continually by his goodness, so that wherever we are, we can say, like David said in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. If anyone needed a refuge from violence, David surely did. He faced a lot of them in his lifetime. He had to fight the lion and the bear that were coming against his father's sheep. And he killed them both. And he had to single-handedly, I say single-handedly because nobody was helping him. Nobody even believed he could do what he was going to do when he went down there and took on the Philistine giant warrior Goliath. Him alone, as everybody thought. Hey, this is a crazy kid going down there. And when Goliath fell face down before him because of a little stone in the forehead, everybody went, yay! Let's go join the party. Because the Philistines, when they saw their giant fall, they would run into him. Now, David, he could do this because he had a revelation, see? He had a revelation. He could do this without fear. As he said, the Lord is my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge. Psalm 144, 1 and 2. Take refuge, though. Did you see that? The one in whom I take refuge. Take refuge. That tells us God's sheltering power doesn't just fall upon us. We have to do something to appropriate it. We have to actively take refuge in God. And how do we do that? By faith. By faith. So we have to trust in Him with our whole hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. And He shall give you the refuge you're looking for and give you a straight path to it. But basically what he's saying is listen, these three people, he says, I'm with you. I got you covered. See, in everything that is going on right now, Jesus tells us what? Do not be afraid. He says, I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and become distressed. For I am your God. He got your back. He got your back. Isaiah 41:10, Amplified, do not fear anything. I like that. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. This is the Lord speaking now. Yes. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. He's our Creator. Right? Elohim, Creator of the universe and everything in it. That's you and me. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand. A hand of righteous, a hand of power, a hand of victory, a hand of salvation. Isaiah 43, 1 and 3, New Living Translation. But now, listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are important to God. He says right there, you are mine. We are His children. He is our Abba Father. And He knows each and every one of us by name. God really loves us. You've got to get that. God really loves us. Now, verse 2, that was only verse 1. This is verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God protects us as we are going through these difficult times. We will not drown. See, we're not going under. We are only above and never beneath. He has promised that to us. But it comes down to obedience too. You don't get off of this without doing something. None of us do. Me included. He assures us as we go through the fire of oppression that we will not be burned, scorched, or consumed. Oppression is the unjust treatment, the maliciousness, or exercise of power over a group of individuals, often in the form of governmental authority or cultural opprobrium. Liberals and leftist government and the global elites have been controlling the narratives of the information they want us to hear through their control of the mainstream news media and social media. This then enables them to push cultural opprobrium on us. What is cultural opprobrium? Opprobrium is a peer punishment mechanism that primarily uses shame to let people know when they've acted outside the social norms of the culture group in which they created. It's a moral system of managing social behavior as opposed to the legal system, and involves social condemnation and or social exclusion. And what did we know from Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit energizes our renewed spirit. Oh, create a new heart in me. Yep. Right? And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have been recreated. It's the inner man that has been recreated. Your spirit man within you. We have all heard the phrase, though, cancel culture. It is used to refer to culture in which those who are deemed to have acted or spoken in an unacceptable manner are ostracized, boycotted, and shunned. The term cancel culture is predominantly used when these responses are to right-winged actions or speech, but is rare when responses are to left-wing actions and speech. Social media is working at taking away the freedom of speech that we have. Cancel culture has had a chilling effect on public discourse, is unproductive, does not bring real social change, causes intolerance, and all of this adds up to one word: cyberbullying. Called cyberbullying. See, the enemy even uses cyberbullying when it comes to the teenagers and even young kids, because they don't know what it is when they get on social media and what can happen. And if we as parents are not overseeing that and watching what happens, there can be devastating effects from that. Sila on that. We have all seen this and how it's been pushed through all the different social media platforms. God has exposed these for all of us to see. And I hope you have been watching and seeing. The buying of Twitter by Elon Musk. And all that has been exposed by him at Twitter. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought? But God. See, God is in control.
Yes, he has all the time.
See, we've got to be taught, we've got to be awakened to the reality and the truth of what's happening in this world and in this nation. It's the only way that he could bring it. Now, because you're looking at the timetable. It's got to happen now. This is all in God's timetable. And the more that we see happening, the more that sees going on. And I'm going to just tell you what. They better watch. You don't touch God's anointed. I'm just telling you. Jonathan Kahn has gotten some major prophecies going for. And Ken Clemens, he's prophesied, and some of his stuff goes all the way into 2027. We heard what we heard the first time. There's still more of the prophecy to fulfill. Nobody thought when he said what he said that there was going to be that fulfillment. But it did come to pass, did it not? Okay. I'm saying you pray and you listen. And when you hear and hear one of the prophets talking, you pray. And you get it in your spirit. Don't act on it emotionally. I made that mistake of sometimes acting emotional. I do not do that anymore. I pray. I want my spirit to say, yeah, that's God. That's God. You can do that too. We're all capable of that. Pray, and then get quiet and listen. Get quiet and listen. Through God, and make no mistake, the House of Representatives was taken back by the Republican Party, by God-chosen conservatives. See, and it wasn't like we expected, was it? We were expecting it to be this tsunami, and we were going to take back the House. We were going to take back the Senate. And then what? Unexpected. They had to fight. And it got down to the point where they just barely took the House. But we got the House back. Right? I believe, because when my spirit, and it wasn't a read, that showed me this. He showed me that he doesn't need an army, a big army like you're thinking. He took Gideon. And he whittled it down to a few hundred. Yet he defeated the Midianites. He has enough that he's taken control. And those voices that we hear, you didn't even know half of those people until you see what they're doing. Because they're the only ones that are speaking out because they're the only ones that are powered by the Holy Spirit to speak what they're supposed to speak and what they're supposed to say. And boy, are they getting persecuted. And there's an oppression upon them. See, we must continually pray for them. Because they are born again believers. See, because you're in Washington, D.C., there, Ari. That is such a cesspool of filth. That they are there. They are there. They're being tempted. They're being tried to bribe them. Everything. Everything they can do, they're throwing at them. Mm-hmm. We got to continue to pray for them. See, because they are making a difference, and they have been taking back a lot of different ground. Yeah, they've been taking back a lot of different ground. We don't hear it all reported, but they are. See, and that's where we got to make sure that we keep our hope in Jesus, because that's where these ones are getting their power from. We must continually be praying. Interceding for them. Now, there are different types of oppression. There's, like I said, social oppression, cultural, political, religious belief, institutional oppression, and economic oppression. There are those in our government bringing oppression against the church. And it's all levels of government. I'm talking even local. If you haven't seen that, come on. You're not getting your information from the place you should. Just talk to some of the parents that have got kids in school now. And if they get involved and they're starting to follow, they're saying, oh my, how far has it gone since I was in school? I know there's a lot of things they don't teach that I was taught. They don't get taught history like we did. Yeah. But those that are coming against the church, I call them fools. Better yet, I call them ignoramuses. Yeah. Jesus said, all the power of hell shall not prevail against my church. My legislative assembly. My called out ones. That's all of you. It includes me. All the ground which the enemy has taken, they will not be able to hold onto. We, the church, are taking it back. See, God has allowed the enemy enough success to believe that they are now firmly and irreversibly in control. They're even so bold and arrogant, they feel there is no longer a need to hide their intentions. What were once covert and subtle attempts to control have become brazen abuses of power. Hidden and disgusting strategies have become full-on in your face. We don't have to hide it anymore. We are taking over the country and the actions, your actions. See, they have taken the bait. And now, just like Pharaoh, just like Pharaoh, they are hastily running forward into their Red Sea experience. Moses saying, and they took out the rider and the horse and the rider, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to see it. They're going to see it because they're going there quickly on their own accord. Arrogantly, the enemy has risen against God. And he's feeling right now that he can just go ahead and mock him. The enemy is mocking God. He's twisting laws. They're implementing double standards of justice, lying with impunity, ignoring the trafficking of children, grooming kindergartners for immoral lifestyles, killing innocent babies in and out of the womb. How disgusting. And they're mutilating confused children. No more. I'm getting disgusted with it. We got to make sure what our kids are hearing when they go to kindergarten. Even when they go into a daycare, you better be prayed up. You better did your investigating before you send them in to one of those. You better be praying Psalm 91 every day over your children, over your grandchildren. See, but apparently those, they have forgotten who they're going up against. See, God's about to show them. In Psalm 2, 1 through 5, New International Reader's Version, why do the nations plan evil together? Why do they make useless plans? The kings of the earth rise up against the Lord. The rulers of the earth join together against his anointed king. That's Jesus. That is Jesus right there. Let us break free from their chains, they say. Let us throw off their ropes. We are more free than they are. The God who sits on his throne in heaven laughs. He laughs. The Lord makes fun of those rulers and their plans. When he is angry, he warns them. He warns them through his prophets. When his anger blazes out, he terrifies them. Right now, they are terrified. They are terrified. He says to them, I have placed my king on my holy mountain of Zion. That is Jesus, our warrior king.
Right.
Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush his enemy. He will crush his enemy.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 20, verse 11. God's Word translation. But the Lord is on my side like a terrifying warrior. That is why those who persecute me will stumble. The Lord is on your side. Jesus, He's a terrifying warrior, and they are afraid of Him. So those that are persecuting you, they're going to stumble. It says they can't win. They will be very ashamed that they can't succeed. Their eternal shame will not be forgotten. No. Isaiah 40, verse 18, and then verse 23 through 26 of the Living Bible. How can we describe God? With what can we compare Him? He dooms the great men of the world and brings them all to naught. They hardly get started, barely take root, when He blows on them and their work withers, and the winds carry them off like straw. With whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up to the heavens. Who created all these stars? As a shepherd leads his sheep, calling each by its pet name. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I bet you don't know Dean's pet name. Calls him Curly. I couldn't pass that one up. Neither could the Holy Spirit. Huh? Yeah, he knows Eden Putty. He's got a pet name for every one of us, if you think about it. And He counts them His sheep to see that none are lost or strayed. So God does this also with the stars and the planets. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Now verse 31 says, the horse is made ready for war, but winning the fight belongs to the Lord. Who does the battle belong to? The Lord. The Lord says, do not be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why we got to take refuge in God. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in these times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Say, I will not fear.
I choose
to take refuge in the Lord. For I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Satan has tried to curse America and bring about her destruction. Were it not for God's grace and mercy through Christ, he would have succeeded. But just as Balak failed in his attempt to destroy Israel by having Balaam prophesy and decree curses over them, Satan will fail today to destroy America. Because even this Balaam was a seer. Wasn't a prophet. He was a seer. And you'll find out later what happens to him. It wasn't good. But you know, his donkey was smarter than he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. His donkey was smarter than him. And he wasn't even smart to realize he was talking to his donkey. So he goes with these guys. He's supposed to curse them. Supposed to curse Israel. And that's why the donkey stopped him, because there was an angel with his sword drawn. He wouldn't have made it through there. That's what the angel told him. He said, so that donkey is a lot smarter than you were, because he was looking. You know what Balaam was looking at? You know what he was moving for? Right here. He was moving for the bucks. They were going to pay him big money to come over here. You come here and you curse him. Well, that's when the angel said, well, we're going to let you go. You go ahead and go with him, probably. But you only say what you're told to say by God. Nothing else. So in Numbers 23, verses 20 and 21, he said to them, after they get him up there to curse him, that he told me to bless them. He blessed them, so I can't change that. Because, see, God cannot lie. God does not renege on his promises. Okay? God saw no wrong in Jacob's people. He saw no sin in the Israelites. The Lord is their God, and he is with them. And the shout of a king is among them. If God be for us, who can be against us? Say, God is for me. Who can be against me? No one. See, God is releasing that shout of King Jesus over America through his army, his volunteer army. You signed up the day you ask Jesus to be your Lord. See, it comes with it. Can I be a good soldier? Yeah, you can. See, we've been told we can't. We've been told to shut our mouths, sit down, and be obedient. In fact, we got global leaders telling us that by the year 2030, you're not going to worry about a thing, because we will take care of everything. Boy, you won't own anything. I don't want to live that way. So they're part of who are coming down, because they're getting realization who God is. He is Jehovah. He's the one that's in control. And he's got all the power, and he has all the authority. Like I say, he's going to let them get to the point where now they've totally exposed themselves and they're totally arrogant in how they approach and how they talk to us, the people. We are the called out ones. See, we will survive, recover, and return to God and his destiny for us and for America. As America shall be saved. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Hallelujah.